It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura and the Dog Bowl in Berea. My partner, the Notorious VIC, out at Liberty Ford in Brunswick. But joining me now, it's time for the roundtable, served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongville. Catch delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. We're joined by Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And Rosewood, as you guys know, is a totally casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that brings you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico Steakhouse. Homemade soups, burgers, steaks, and seafood. There's something on the menu for everyone. It's a great place, a lot of fun. Go out there, check it out, Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville, and you can check it out at rosewoodgrill.com. Gentlemen, good to have the roundtable back together again. The Browns in a little bit of a slide, taking on a Chicago Bears team, still very much in the playoff hunt. But the Browns the last couple of weeks have been very close. A couple defensive stands at the end of the game, and all of a sudden you're talking about a 6-7 Browns team as opposed to a 4-9 team. Jim, what do they have to do, in your opinion, to get over the hump and get a win this Sunday against Chicago?
Yeah, I guess it's that old word. They have to finish. I mean, they just have not finished. And, you know, it seems very cliche-ish when they say it earlier in the year, but, I mean, we have visual proof to it that they have not been able to finish these games. With, I think, the unit out on the field that we would think would be able to finish the game for them leading up to these games. I mean, I thought they're in a pretty good spot, 80 yards away against Jacksonville. The defense does not hold it. And then last week, I definitely thought, you know,
up with 12, the way they two and a half
and the way they had played the whole game, yeah. I thought that they really had that thing solved. So I think it's just really finishing the game and then learning how they finished it and do it again.
Or make sure that Jerome Bogard doesn't do the game.
You know, it's funny.
We were down in the room and we were looking at the last play of the game in New England, where Jordan Cameron caught the pass right before they attempted the 50-some-yard field goal. Well, the defensive back launched on Jordan Cameron on Godley. No penalty. A much more violent thing yes. than what Poyer did. But, I mean, the missed calls in the game, and yeah, we got one, too, in the game. But it's amazing that, you know, how teams are favored sometimes, I think, because of the success that they have.
If these were replacement refs in that game, there would be people would be going right. absolutely bananas. Right. Like
well, you know,
game.
The other thing, yeah. though, is the whole afternoon unfolded, and I didn't, you know, I just did not visualize that thing was going to come down the way it did. But as the whole afternoon unfolded, there were a lot of conferences on all these calls. I mean, even on the especially on the potential grounding calls. And I think that's why the game took so long. Now, I realize the Gronkowski injury took a while to get him in a position where they could remove him from the field. But when you see a lot of conferences after every play and then yeah. the flag coming out, as late as it was coming out, whether or not it was going to be called grounding. I mean, that's when you get a feeling that there's not a real control.
They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they don't know what's going on.
You know, Belichick, I talked with – go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry.
Well, when Belichick was here, I remember he used to have a scouting report on officiating crews.
Right.
What they called the most of, they called so many pass interferences, they called holding at the line of scrimmage, and he would have a scouting, and he would warn the players, this is what you got to stay away from this week.
Every team pretty much is doing that, and I know the Browns do as well. Rob Chudzinski and his staff, I mean, that's part of what staff assignments are for those who are assisting and looking at tape and trying to get those tendencies down. I don't know how much they influence everything you do coaching-wise, but there are those cautionary speeches that are given to players leading up to the game. The other thing is, in talking with some other folks around the league about the crew that the Browns had there, the response I got was, you had that guy. So that's not a good sign, Jim, when you're getting that.
No, that's not very encouraging.
But I would add this quickly. I think getting hung up and staying stuck to the whole officiating discussion from that game isn't the way to go. And I think this football team has to be, you know, over that, which I think they are. And now the focus is, okay, how do you do your very best through these final three right. games? What do these three games mean to you? And we're going to learn a heck of a lot about this football team, I think, in three games. We might learn more about this team in the next three games than we've learned from them through the first 13.
Well, I have to say this, Vic. I've been, since the loss on Sunday, I've been struggling to sleep. You know, and so it's been like two Benadryl a night to try and get that game out of my head. And then I thought I had rid myself of it. And last night I was starting to look at the Bears material, and I turned on the TV, and that Inside the NFL show is on. And naturally, it is on right at the point where the Browns Patriots highlights are coming up. But I heard you on Monday when you had Rob Chudzinski on, and then I saw the visuals of the onside kick. And, it just did not look right the way everything, there was a hole in the middle,
right in the middle.
That the Browns tried to cover very quickly but very late. But there really was, Vic, and I remember saying on the broadcast, there were like two little orange helmets there in a sea of silver. And, I mean, that's how outgunned they were, it seemed, in the middle on that onside kick.
Yeah, and there were a couple, and we asked them about that in the middle, and they said that they had even seen that. They called it the bunt kick up the middle where the kicker is supposed to recover it. Yeah, that was a tough one. And to me, the other one that we talked about from that game, not to bring it up again, but was the fact that they were in a coverage that allowed Leon McFadden to be one-on-one on the outside with anybody. Granted, it wasn't their best receiver, but anybody, because pre-snap, there's no question that's where Tom Brady's going with that football.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't just Leon McFadden. When they got Vereen on Mingo, they went after him. And they got Robertson on Vereen, they went after him. I mean, that's why Tom Brady's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah, it's tough to match up with a team with so many weapons. As we look ahead, a team with a bevy of weapons coming to town, Chicago, Alshon Jeffrey, they've got Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett. But who the quarterback will be is at this point still a question mark. Josh McCown, Jay Cutler, who do you want to see the Browns face this Sunday with McCown being so red hot?
I think I'd like to see Cutler. I think, I think anytime you've been off for the amount of time that he's been off, and I think as soon as if you got them off to a slow start, okay, and you're handling them, and Cutler's playing, but he's not moving his offense, and the Browns are playing pretty well. I would think there would be a sense of a little bit of doubt over there on that Chicago sideline that, maybe we should have kept the other guy in. We were really playing well. I mean, didn't Brian Urlacher come out and say, if I was on the Bears team, I'd be very disappointed this week if they announced that they were going to bring Cutler back? So, I mean, anytime, that's a tricky thing when you're bringing a guy back and the game means so much and the other guy has got you in a big game.
He's coming off a groin and an ankle, high ankle sprain. His mobility should be less, and there's got to be some rust. And, he knows the offense, and he can get away with a lot of things because he's got the big arm. But with that said, I think I'd like to see Cutler, too.
Yeah.
This is the Roundtable, and it is served to you by Rosewood Grill in Strongsville and in Hudson. Vic Carucci here at Liberty Ford in Brunswick, joined by Nathan Zagura back in our studio in Berea. He is there with Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Guys, you talk about Cutler, and the story with him is more interesting than just coming back to the lineup as a player. He's also a guy that this football team, this Bears team, could very well allow to leave them in the offseason because they don't want to pay him a big contract. You just wonder about the dynamics, all the reasons why, especially, could he be rusty? We would count on that, perhaps. Mm-hmm. He won't be in top form. They've had the hot hand there. So if they decide to sit down the hot hand of McCown and go with Cutler, that's a benefit. But you also have a distracted guy, I think, with this contract situation.
Well, yeah. And, Vic, as I've watched him in Chicago, he has had a pretty significant injury every year, hasn't he? I mean, where
three years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, where he misses a chunk, not a game. I mean, he misses a chunk of the season. So, I mean, his pattern has been that he's gotten them out of the gate pretty good. They start off pretty well. And then he gets hurt, and then there's always a dilemma then of when is he going to come back, and can they get somebody capable to go in there? And they've obviously, with 13 touchdowns and one interception, this guy has been playing great.
Yeah, I mean, he's other than Foles, I think he's probably one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league. But, it's amazing how the Bears' personality has changed, where they used to be the defense carried this football team. Now, they're the second highest scoring offense in the league. And, for the Bears, they got a pretty complete package there.
Yeah, they got two great receivers, a tight end who can catch the football. Matt Forte can do it all out of the backfield. The one thing the Browns, when you talk about a complete package on offense, the Browns haven't had that. But they've been throwing the ball very effectively the last 2 weeks, over 370 yards, three touchdowns through the air. But they haven't been able to run it. Looks like McGahee unlikely to go this week. And a runner has rushed for 100 yards and six straight against this Bears defense. Do we finally get a semblance of a ground game this week?
What do you think, Doug?
But, you look at the game last week. I think in the first 24 plays. It was 12 and 12. They ran the ball 12 times. They did, and it set up the passing game, you know, for them. And in the first quarter, they didn't throw to Gordon. Then it was all Cameron. Then as the game developed, they incorporated Gordon more into it. And, you know, that's what you got to do. You've got to distribute the ball. But I think, you know, if Obanaya, you know, is in there, you know, Obanaya is a blue-collar back. He gives you everything he's got. And, you know, he's a smart guy. And I think you've got to run against the Bears. I mean, you've got to honor it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm all for that. I don't know which guy I'm going to dub as the guy that's going to get the 100 yards, huh? But I'm all for it.
It would be exciting to see somebody do it.
There you go.
Well, maybe we can put Josh Gordon back there.
Boy, I tell you what, the way he ran on that reverse last
34
week,
yards.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great play.
What's amazing to me about him is that he has an effortless gear where he runs away from everybody. And at that size, you don't see that. And Joe Hayden was talking about it. He's saying, you know, most guys that you see at Josh Gordon's side that are fast running, you know, a 4.4, maybe a low 4.5, he's running a legit 4.3 out there, and he is running away from defensive backs like it's nothing.
And I was asking somebody, I said, what does he run? They said, what do they say, 4.5? I said, that ain't no 4.5.
No, and I think that because it's so deceptive, the long legs, the long frame, mm-hmm. and he's so sudden. He gets on DBs. The biggest problem with most defensive backs when they face him, those who are not pressing on him, I think actually the best way to play Josh Gordon is to try to press him mm-hmm. because they back off, obviously not sure of what that's going to be speed-wise or with some disrespect that they can usually, if you back off, you think you can also run with the guy. Well, he gets into his route and they're caught. And then all he's got to do is make his cut one way or the other. And I think once that happens, that's when it's over. That's when he's running away from most defensive backs. Guys, great breakdown. We appreciate it so much.
The last couple of weeks with the 95-yarder and the 80-yarder, Jim is well-versed to call the Kentucky Derby and Secretariat running. There he goes. He's out of the gate. He's got a length lead.
I'm amazed that Thistledown or Northfield has not called me to come in and do a couple of races.
Josh
Gordon versus a horse. Yeah, that'll be the next one.
Hey, guys. Vic, before you go,
yes,
on that
Jim.
Point, I do want to tell you that at one time in my career at NBC, I did games with Beasley Reese, the defensive back with the Giants, and he ran against a horse.
Yeah, there's almost always a guy like once every few years. I want to say Deion Sanders was going to do it once.
Wow.
Did it once. Yeah. So maybe that's in the offing. Anyway, this is the Roundtable, and you could be the announcer. Served to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Rosewood is a casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that brought you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico's Steakhouse. Gentlemen, thank you. We are going to get a Bears perspective next. Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune is going to be on the line with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm coming to you from Liberty Ford in Brunswick. Come on out and hang out. We got free Arby's food for you. Dave Wallabaugh is here to sign some autographs, former Brown center, post for pictures, whatever you want to do. There's some free giveaways here as well. So come on out and see us here till 3 p.m. CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.